The 100 Marathon Club by Darren Smith. It is well documented that I had signed up for the Copenhagen Marathon 2016 before I'd run my first marathon at Berlin. It was a ploy, you see, to take the pressure off, the undue pressure off myself. People put, in my opinion, too much strain on themselves going into races. You know, if it's your only marathon, sure. And if you're raising a huge amount of money, sure. But I, you see, wasn't raising a lot of money. And I knew that Berlin was not my only marathon. As soon as I signed up for my second, then all of that weight just lifted off my shoulders. If you can't get it right first time, then just get it right next time. That was my thinking, and if anyone that I know is signed up for a marathon, or their first marathon, or their first ultra, what I would recommend is this. Sign up for another one before you've run it. If I'd signed up for Berlin, and then signed up for Copenhagen, whatever it was, 8 months later, before I'd even got to Berlin, then it's time to relax. If you've got a race that you're worried about, just sign up for another one 6 months down the line before you get to that first race, and then the pressure will be off. Trust me, I know of which I speak. Copenhagen 2016 was also the first marathon where I attempted Jeffing the whole thing, run walking it with a trial and error method of working out what was the best run to walk ratio. It would end up, it was my third marathon, so it was my slowest out of the first three, but it's still my fourth fastest marathon of all time. 13 minutes slower than my PB. Which makes the idea of trying to better it this year a bit unlikely. I will be happy to get a time somewhere around, you know, the same time I did Manchester this year, only for consistency's sake. But I'm a ways away from getting anywhere near my times from 2015 and 2016. But we shall see, obviously. So this will be 100 Marathon Club number 70 in 80 months of running them. And my fifth of 2022 so far. Fifth in 4 months, that is. And I am looking forward to it. I really enjoyed the trip to Denmark last time. The city is gorgeous. The food is awesome. The people are lovely. And the race, well, 6 years ago it was swelteringly hot. So I wonder what it has in store for us this year. All I know is that I'm currently comfortable in my running life. I've got nothing to prove, you see, and I'm seeing the benefits of the little additions to my running. The gym, for example, that's helping. Run club, that is too. Park run. I've now run, at the time of recording, 50 park runs. Who would have thought it? Not me. I was stuck on 47 for what seemed like years. Parkrun, you see, I think helps me with my speed, because I don't ordinarily run 5Ks or 10Ks, that for that matter. So I don't normally run fast. And the gym is helping me with my stamina. So if anything, I just need to fix my goddamn brain. It's my mental state when running, you see, because I should be able to run through tiredness and niggles rather than hyper-focusing on them, and which caused me to slow down and walk. You know, I should be running marathons an hour faster than I currently do. I should be running ultras, 50Ks for example, 2 hours faster than I currently do. But all of that comes down to me and my mental state when I'm running. If I could fix that, then I think all the pieces will be coming together. But we'll have to see. At the moment, we do have a few pieces in motion. that I think are going to help me when it comes to this one. So let's just see how it goes. And so too, 100 Marathon Club number 70, the Copenhagen Marathon, 15th of May, 2022. Nah, it should have been so simple. I mean, this was, after all, a carbon copy of 2016 for me. In 2016, I had not trained at all, run the Manchester Marathon, doing well, relatively speaking, and then I ran Copenhagen. So, in 2022, 6 years later, this year, I'd also... My only road marathon was the Manchester Marathon, where I ran okay. I did better than last year for sure. And now I was back in Copenhagen for a second marathon in the space of a couple of months. Well, space of a month, really. Everything seemed like it was deja vu.
And just to prove that things don't move in the same pace as they do in a... back home, I've been to the expo, to a picture of my name on the one wall, which was good. That's what I did last time. I went in the right way this time rather than the wrong way into the expo. Now eating at the Halifax Burger, which is where I ate last time, eating a burger, which I ate last time, and I'm sitting at the table next to where I sat last time. And if you listen, Bohemian Like You by the Dandy Warhols is playing, and that was playing in 2016 too. This place just hasn't moved on.
And I was a little bit foolish to think that this was a carbon copy of 2016. In 2016, I was, well, 6 years younger. I mean, sure, it was only my third marathon, as opposed to what should have been my 70th. Third marathon ever, as I've run all... four already this year. So I was overconfident. I even though my knee was a little bit crunchy, but it's always a little bit crunchy. Jenny actually told me I always complain that my knee's a bit crunchy going into races, maybe because I've become more aware of it. But I was overconfident. I thought I could just stroll it like I did last time. However, much like last time, the temperature soared and it was above 20 on the morning of the race as I headed down to the race HQ for what should have been 100 Marathon Club number 70. I knew a few people who were running it. There were a few Mornington chasers. And Darsen. I haven't seen Darsen for a while. He and I, our paths tend to cross on international marathons. I don't think I've seen him since Athens, but we always end up having chats about comrades. And so I was mentally ready for this. I could run walk it. I ran. This was the first race back in 2016 when I applied the run walk strategy, and I thought I did everything right this time. I was in a good place mentally. Yes, it was warm. It was the first race where I'd be running and it's actually quite hot. Given the hideous photographs at Manchester, I have been working out a lot. I mean, sometimes twice a day, certainly five times a week. And I'd picked an outfit, a Nike top that was black and very slimming, and black sort of twin skin with dark grey and black camo Ron Hill shorts, black calf sleeves, and a black cap. So I was going for the, I'm hoping this outfit is very slimming in the race photos look. The race started at 9:30, which for me, on a day when it's going to be incredibly hot, much like 2016, I believe that's an hour late. You could already be an hour into the race before the sun gets too warm, and it was already getting too warm. I'd already drunk my bottle of liquid on the way to the start. So, and other people around me, there was a whole water table that was being frequented by everybody there. So, time passed. I sorted out my music. I sorted out my gels. I sorted out myself. I was mentally ready. I positioned myself with between the 4 and 4.5 hour balloons, the paces. That was it. I ran. I started. I started jogging. And then the wheels fell off. Well, this is incredibly disappointing, but it is what it is. It's very crowded at the beginning, and I went over on the cobbles. Quite simple as that. Ankle went one way, kept going, then it went again, and not ideal. It feels very sore. I've had to pull out because I can barely put weight on it at the moment. I could put weight on it straight, but not if I'm not if I'm trying to move fast. So basically I can just about limp. So I'm turning around and limping back to the start. It's incredibly disappointing because, you know, it's a mostly flat race. It's lovely. It's great. It's a lovely city. Lovely fans. Lovely people. It's great weather today. But it's just I've gone over on my ankle. Nothing I could do really. So what I'm going to do is do what I normally do in these disappointing situations. I'm going to go back to the hotel and book myself on a few races further down the line and in to see my physio when I am back on Tuesday. And sadly, that's what I had to do. There was nothing else I could do. I limped back to the race HQ. It was quite embarrassing. Well, I thought it was embarrassing. You know, I took my number off. And the thing is, I actually tried to run again after I did my ankle, but I just couldn't do it. So I ended up walking through the city, and I'm kind of relieved that I didn't keep trying. And I know that I'm of the mindset where I could just run, walk this, and get around in 6 hours, kind of thing. But I thought I was going to do myself some more damage with the ankle, so I just walked through town. I took my number off, as I said, and tried not to make eye contact with as many marshals as I could, and then I got over the bridge to where the race village was, and I passed the security guards who I'd seen earlier, who were only letting runners in, and I passed the information tent that had half a dozen busying people there, and then I had to walk past all of the baggage tents, because the reason why I actually went back to Race HQ was that I had my bag there. I dropped a bag. It had a hoodie and a my trackies and a spare t-shirt and a drink and my hotel key and everything that I needed to get back to the hotel. So I went and walked past all of these teenagers who were helping out on the bag tents. My number meant that I was the 8th bag tent. And there was like half a dozen kids in each tent, so I'm literally walking past a whole fucking school of volunteers before getting to my tent and asking the kid there who was on his phone to give me my bag back. But once he did, I sort of turned around and there were already several people flat out. The cobbles did them in, and not just me and a couple of other guys who looked a bit like foreign versions of me. There were some elites who had stopped. There was an actual guy with his name rather than a number who basically limped back to the start. And as I walked my way back through the start finish arch and headed back towards my hotel, I saw more and more. more and more. There had to be a dozen, maybe getting on for two dozen, limping runners. The cobbles of Copenhagen had done us all in. And I guess that's what you need to take away from this. I mean, for me, all of my DNFs have taught me valuable lessons. Comrades, in 2017, do not go into a race injured, especially when it's 84 kilometres uphill in the African summer. Ultrax, in the Alps, the Matterhorn. If you're running in the fucking mountains, train in the fucking mountains. No number of Swain's Lane of Pain loops in Highgate are going to prepare you for running 12,000 feet of climb in the Alps. The Shakespeare Raceway, where I projectile vomited tailwind. Don't, this is the lesson, don't try anything new on race day, nutrition or kit wise. GM45, it was muddy, it was slushy, I wore fucking road shoes and slipped out all over the place falling down a fucking hill. My lesson there, wear the right kit. And Copenhagen, the lesson can only be avoid the cobbles. But much like all of the other races where I DNF'd, you pick yourself back up again. You formulate a plan. You try not to replicate the mistakes you've made. I am already moving on. And so I signed up. As soon as I got back to the hotel, I signed up to the Druids in November. This is a 3-day extreme energy race. 32 miles a day, I think it is. Triple ultra. But I could take as long as I fucking well please. I've also put myself in B&Bs, or actually they're pubs, two pubs at the end of day one and day two. So it's going to be I finish, go to the pub, whilst everyone else is bussed to a school somewhere to sleep on camp beds. So I've signed myself up to Druids. I've also been seriously looking at a Life A race, and I've been looking at the 250k Ice Ultra in Sweden in the spring, with the idea that if I do throw $3,000 at that race, I will train my ass off not to fuck it up, because it will officially be my most expensive race I've ever done. And at this present moment in time, I am also in conversation with several strength and conditioning coaches. I went online, I found this particular online coach up north, I literally just asked for a 12-week online strength and conditioning plan to help me lose a little bit of weight, to help me get leaner muscles, and to help me pick the right exercises for the betterment of my running. And the guy was like, yeah, 12 weeks, blah, 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 $1,000. And I was like, what? He goes, my cheapest would be $1,000. How can your cheapest be $1,000? I mean, really, it's an online... I mean, that's what I think about a lot of this online coaching and online, you know, online running coaches. Well, here's a plan. I've got plans. You can Google plans. You can make up your own plans. What you need for that money, you know, for $1,000, you need to be fucking messaging me every day to making sure that I've done exactly what I'm supposed to do and how it felt and changing the plan accordingly. But anyway, so I sort of binned that guy, and then I looked at this CrossFit guy who became very, very pushy, literally text messaging all the time, and is like, I don't deal well to hard sell. You know, hard sell's not my thing. So I've already binned him. And then I spoke to Kaza Guest. Now, I love Kaza. She's awesome. And she's actually got a coach, Howard, and a strength and conditioning coach, Maggie, Howard's partner. And Kaza's blitzing it at the moment. She is hitting PBs all the time. And so I don't really want the running coach, Camille Herron, arguably one of the greatest long distance runners in the world at the moment. She did me a plan. So I've got a Camille Herron plan. 50k plan from Camille Heron. So I don't need someone else's running plans. No disrespect to anyone out there, and certainly no disrespect to Howard. I've got Camille's plan, and that's a proper plan. What I want is the strength and conditioning stuff. So I've spoke to Maggie, or messaged Maggie. She messaged me back, and I've messaged her back still. So hopefully, what has come out of a disappointing at the time trip to Copenhagen, what's come out of that is suddenly I'm doing Druids now, which will, if I continue doing every race for the rest of the year, will smash my annual record for amount of ultras and marathons I've done in 1 year. I found a new A race, this Ice Ultra in Sweden next spring, and I might have convinced myself that I can't just do this alone. I need to follow Camille's running plan and actually start running as training, and a strength and conditioning coach who will actually make that running easier and better. So, yeah. So I need to kind of wind back. This was no longer 100 Marathon Club number 70. It was DNF number 6. That 6 isn't bad. I've been running for 11 years. We're getting on for 11 years now. So 6 DNFs in 11 years isn't too bad. So I'm okay with that. And like I said, when I come out of a DNF, I am always looking to improve and looking to challenge myself in different ways. Even if you get knocked down, you get up again. No one can ever keep you down. Next up, number 70 again, and 71, in 6 weeks' time, the Race to the Tower. I get no